All right, welcome back. That was the Turtles with Joe Stefko on drums, which we happen to have here. We're going to be having some conversations about music and book publishing. So welcome, Joe.
Hey, thank you.
All right, doing some levels.
We're here on Main Street.
Yes, Catskill Main Street. We're looking out. We see nothing but blue skies. With Peter and Jillian looking right back at me. I think the levels are good. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you. It's good to see you without, like, twigs and wood in your hands.
Ah, yes. No. I've been feeding the fire, you know, cooking the sap as quick as possible. But there's always a stick nearby. And, yeah, so what brought you to this town of Catskill, Joe?
Oh, well, a car.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, we drove up.
Was it fast or slow?
You know, medium. No, we were looking for a place upstate, my wife and I, and we were in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And we were just looking around, but we had realtors, and we were looking for certain kinds of space, and she knew of a place, and it was here.
Great.
And it was right, so.
Yeah, I like when I tell people I live in Catskill, and they're like, "Where in Catskills?" And
I'm
like,
"Yeah, the Catskills."
Right. Yeah. I'm like, "It's great as long as people don't know there's a town called Catskill." You know?
Well, apparently they don't.
Right.
So.
But we'll keep it our secret.
Well, we need to get more artists up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's not enough.
Peter's been working in the Green Council of the Arts building, so he's seen a lot of artists.
Yeah, it seems like they're compared to other places I've lived, there are a lot of musicians and there are a lot of artists in this area. Maybe that's because I've lived in dry places.
So, you've been playing a lot of music your whole life, and then...
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of publishing.
I'm doing a lot of publishing now,
and I guess give the listeners a brief description of this publishing house.
I do these handmade limited editions. My press is called Charnel House, and I publish Dean Koontz among other people, but I do all his books in a limited edition. So I design them and put them through public through production, and they're hand bound, you know, and it's a lot of exotic materials and imported cloths and handmade papers and things, and it's art, but and it's signed and it's numbered, and
limited meaning like under 250 or
yeah,
in that range
about that, you know, and also 150, and I do a really expensive, very rare 26 copies that are lettered, and they're
nice.
Different. Some of them have like bullets coming through them, and one's in the shape of a church with a stained glass window through the front board.
That's a Dean Koontz?
That's a Koontz,
oh, okay.
Yeah. The bullet one is a King book, Stephen King.
I was reading on your site, Harlan Ellison's got H of his 26 edition.
Yeah, that was a letter from him you read. I just did a book with Harlan Ellison.
How is that guy?
I love him.
Yeah.
He's really great. I've known him for a long time. We've never worked together. And he wrote, well, there were two collections of his columns in the LA Free Press from 69 and 70 called The Glass Tit. And it was all about television and the media. And if he didn't like something, you know, I mean, he had no editing. It was just whatever he felt. And they're just great. And they were collected in paperbacks. And the first one was suppressed by Agnew, and they were all recalled. And they're kind of hard to find. And I put them both together in a omnibus, and it's a huge limited edition. It's like 11 inches tall and 8 inches wide. And,
oh, yeah, great. So when you, I guess, finally talked to him about doing this project, that piece came to mind, The Glass Tit, T-E-A-T, is that how he spells
yep.
it?
Yep, yeah.
Which, you know, it's kind of nice, petite. But so that was his choice to, or his idea, or
no?
Something you guys,
I wanted to do it.
Okay.
So I called him and he liked the idea, and he knew with me it was basically I go away, I do it, and I come back and it's a book.
Great. So this is a publishing house, you know, in this day of the e-books, you know, you're putting out the object.
Well, it's
object.
Art. Yeah, it's more art. I mean, it is the book. I don't think a lot of people read my books if they have them. They put them on a shelf.
Right.
I mean, if there's a trade edition like Dean's, they'll read the paperback or the hardcover and they'll put this on the shelf. But you know, I typeset it. It's different than the book. It's a lot more of a leisurely read.
Okay.
But I don't think people really.
Yeah, you're not going to find any beat up copies.
No, I think like... One day I think I'm going to put out a blank book with just a signature sheet and a title page, and I'll see how many people notice.
When they open it, when they crack the spine, don't crack the spine.
Yeah,
it's a collector's world. So this, the book publishing is what you do when you're not traveling around with, you know, one of many bands. Like,
Sometimes I've got papers and stuff on the road, but I do this more than I play now.
Okay.
Yeah. I've designed 70 books in the past 23 years. And
wow. How many are still available from those editions, or can you?
You have to look on my site.
Okay.
I mean, there's still some books available.
Right.
Yeah. It's Charnel House. Charnel House is a place, and they used to just store dead bodies and bones, like in the plagues when it was just. Everyone was dropping. What are we going to do with all this crap?
So early American or early English or when was
way early?
Okay.
Yeah.
So 1700s.
Yeah.
Stumble upon a charnel house.
Yeah. Sometimes you'll read and people will talk about a charnel house smell. It's death basically.
All right.
And for me, it was a play on Random House.
Ah.
You know, and I knew that I was going to be doing not just horror, but that, you know,
the darker side.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, I did it.
So the song we were playing before we went into the interview was something you kind of decided to put out?
No, that one was put out by Rhino. That was live at the Bottom Line.
Okay.
That was a whole concert. The one that we did ourselves is just... We would do a lot of crazy things in New York. At the Bottom Line, we would do it every year between Christmas and New Year's.
It was a long, like, week-long show, basically.
Yeah. Okay. We would do two shows a night for sometimes 8 days.
Okay.
And we, you know, would be touring the rest of the year and having to play just the hits, the old Turtle hits. So here we would do what we wanted to do, and... You know, if we were into Jerry Lewis, we would do Jerry Lewis. I mean, there's Jerry Lewis songs on the thing.
Oh, nice.
Or Elvis, or what? Stupid things.
Yeah. It seems like when Zappa and the Mothers were, what do you call it, when a band is in residence, you know, it sounds like that's the crossover, the Turtles, you know, becoming the Mothers or taking that residence, doing a longer show, feeling like you can take a lot of space in the shows and not just...
Basically just doing what we want to do.
Yeah.
But they came, the crowd liked it. They knew that that's what we were going to do, and they were wondering, you know, what are they going to, you know, fly above us this year on a clothesline or, you know.
Nice. And so Flo and Eddie... On the back of the CD, I'm like, I did recognize them. They were in 200 Motels, but that was their sort of stage name.
When the Turtles broke up, the everyone sued each other, and it turned out that they couldn't use their real names.
Wow.
So Frank Zappa hired them and just gave them those names.
Okay.
they literally couldn't go out as Mark and Howard.
Okay.
If you could believe that.
Flo and Eddie, I guess I wish I could be the fly on the wall if it was just really off the top of Frank Zappa's head or, you know.
That's what they told me. I wasn't there.
Yeah. It's like the naming of Captain Beefheart was, you know, I don't know, there's some kind of, I guess he had that early film that, you know, that Captain Beefheart was in. Maybe that's where the name.
I don't know either.
Yeah, yeah.
I should just leave.
No. You just got to read the Frank Zappa biography where they talk about wiping boogers all on this window in his garage. This is when he was a kid, and it was just a yellow, completely yellow-covered window. But those are the things that stick out of musician.
Who's got that window now?
I don't know. I think it probably got knocked down, or I'm sure
someone probably pay a lot.
Dweezil
of money
doesn't,
for that.
or Moon Unit, they both turned it down. You want your dad's booger window? They turned it down. But yeah, and so you've been playing music for a pretty long time. You've been with lots of what are some of the other groups you've got to play drums with?
Well, Edgar Winter,
yeah.
Hot Tuna. I play with Todd Rundgren. Mick Ronson, nice. Some girls, Ellen Foley, played with her. She was the one on Meatloaf who did Paradise. I did her tours.
Hey.
Oh, sorry. Meatloaf, of course, yeah. And John Cale.
You were getting ready to tell us kind of the last time you decided to play with Meatloaf. It was something, a tale of... I don't know what, you know, why'd you just stop playing with Meatloaf? Sorry.
Well, I didn't stop playing with him. It kind of just stopped.
It stopped by itself.
It ground to a deadly halt. And it was over for a few years. And then he came back again, but everything was different and everybody was different.
He was under some pressure, and it was, what do you call it? What do you call it when you do something just for the crowd?
He had problems with his voice. I mean, he fell off a stage, and
okay.
it was a mess. You know, we toured for Bat Out of Hell for about 2.5 years.
Whoa.
And, you know, that wears you thin.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to do a lot of press and a lot of stuff, and it was just too much for him. When we went to do the second album, he couldn't sing it.
Ah.
So he had to kind of go away and see what was wrong, you know. That took a while.
And who was the female? I mean, I always assumed it was his wife at one time, but this is just MTV, or the woman that was in Don't You Love Me Forever or whatever.
That's Ellen Foley.
Oh, Evan.
Well,
Ellen
she's
Foley.
The one that sang it on the record.
Okay.
But the girl that everybody sees in the video is Carla DeVito.
Ah.
She was in the live band.
Okay.
She was with me.
Ah. No relation to Danny or?
No.
Okay.
No, not that I know.
How was playing with John Cale? I mean,
that was interesting. You really never knew what was going to happen with him.
Yeah.
You never knew what he was going to do.
You always think in the Velvet Underground or whatever he was maybe the grounded one, but he was a little wild.
Well, I didn't know him then.
Okay.
You know, and you know, I didn't really know him at all. I just auditioned
okay.
for this gig, and I got it. You know, and before I knew it, we were off to Europe and doing a tour. And then I found out he had idiosyncrasies.
Oh yeah.
But you know, you're over there. What are you going to do? You
know? Okay.
But it was good. It was a lot of fun.
I don't know.
I was a kid, you know, and it was my first tour. I was having a great time,
huh.
But I was just watching a different mind at work.
Okay. I don't know much about, I haven't read up on my John Cale idiosyncrasies, so I don't know if that's worth going into or, you know.
Well, Some we can't.
All right. There's kids out there. We're at the community center. You can't go into John Cale's idiosyncrasies at the Catskill Community Center.
No, you know. Plus, I really do like the guy. You know, he's a genius. You know, I mean, that stuff was great.
Yeah.
And those people think differently than us people.
Church of Anthrax. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what that one was about. That was, he did that one with Terry Riley or something like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. I mean, I always wanted the whole record to be just like that, maybe lead off song, but I'm probably not developed enough in my mind to appreciate the whole record yet, but when I return to it.
I don't know. I listened to it recently, actually.
What's that
one? I just listened to that recently for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty mental.
Yeah.
No, we toured for a long time, and we ended up going to England, which is what we touched on before. And at the time, I think it was 76 going into 77, and punk was the thing. And when we came over, they kind of were calling him the godfather of punk. And we were not punk.
Right.
You know? He had a lot of pressure to kind of conform. And it just ended up going into a thing where he chopped the head off a chicken on stage.
And that was John.
That was John.
Ah, okay. See, I was getting that. I thought that was the Bat Out of Hell story.
No. Meat doesn't. No, okay. He never did anything like that. He just threw chairs at people. We were on the road, and we were stopping at farms, and I couldn't figure out why we were stopping at farms, and he came out with a chicken, and sure enough, you know, I said, look, if you're going to do what I think you're going to do, I'm out of here. Of course, I was in another country. You know?
Right.
But he said, no, we just wanted to have some fun with it. But we were doing Heartbreak Hotel, and he went off during a guitar solo. It came on. With a butcher's uniform, a meat cleaver, and the chicken. This is great.
Heartbreak Hotel, that's the one he decided to kill the chicken to.
Yeah. So he did, and he threw the head out in the audience, and he swung the body around. And I just threw the sticks down and left. And
How far into the show was it?
It was pretty far.
Okay, no one wanted their money back. They're like, I think we got our money on that. You know?
Yeah, he was smart about it because he knew that I wasn't going to take it.
Man, Heartbreak Hotel. I'll never listen to the song and not
it's
think
It's never
about,
the same for me. No, he's great. I've seen him a lot lately or since then, certainly, and we kind of laugh about it now.
That's cool. Should we break to maybe the prison song, or should we brighten it up with Happy Together?
Up to you.
All right.
Prison song is like 5 seconds.
All right, prison song and then Happy Together. Then we'll come back and talk a little longer. Joe Stefko of Catskill, of Charnel House, of the Turtles, of the I'm Not Going to Have No Dead Chickens on Stage.
Song we wrote for Michelob, especially called The Night. You have to say The Night in a Michelob commercial, and so we wrote this. It's just called
The Night.
The Night.
Night. It's good.
Why don't we share a raging fire? It's beginning to sprinkle out there. Besides being cold, but I
All right, we're back with Joe Stefkos playing drums on that Turtles track, and that was Richie Cannata on saxophone, and we're back on Main Street in Catskill. We were, while that song was playing, talking about all the amazing things coming up here in Catskill. Joe, another hat Joe wears is he's on the Catskill Town Planning Board, and you were talking about some restaurants opening, and
we have restaurants going, and we have restaurants coming. It's we've got a Chinese place, a restaurant coming where Bell's Cafe was, and there's a Mexican restaurant, a Latin Mexican restaurant opening on Monday.
Whoa!
And on Brando's Alley.
I was always a friend wanted to try to get Retriever Roasters to start selling burritos when he wasn't there, and I was like, yeah, that would go over. You know, people want nachos, and you know, high markup. Just throw some beans and rice in a wrap and send you on your way with some hot sauce. I would be happy.
No, we need food here.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that place. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And the Masters on Main, they've got some Occupy Wall Street-esque art coming soon, so we'll see what gets occupied. The pagan witches of Palinville, they have a nice sign out front that says Occupy Catskill, so that hopefully they'll be excited about that, you know, finally. I wonder how their fight with the town is going. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
They were trying to say that they're not a religion and they can't, you know, they need to start paying taxes, and I don't know. It was kind of got messy, but I don't know. I think they're I don't know. I think it's all quieted down, or who knows. They had some chickens the other day. I drove
it hasn't come before the board.
Oh, okay.
The witches.
The pagan. It was all the rage for, you know, a while. I don't know. We'll have to get an update.
Actually, we ought to get them in here.
Yeah. They were on.
Have an interview. Yes. Yeah.
They actually. Yeah, they were on. Conversations on a Tightrope. I think she.
Where were they?
Yes. With Joan Geis. Yeah. That was exciting. But the witches of Palinville.
Oh.
But they're, you know, I've been over there. They've actually got a room dedicated to the telegraph and early forms of communication. It's, you know, and they have a round, almost miniature geodesic dome. They've got some good things going. They're waiting to put up their windmill, so they're not just your everyday pagan witches. They're much, much more holistic than that.
All right.
Yeah. So what's coming up for Charnel House? And
okay, there's a limited edition of Dean Koontz's new book, 77 Shadow Street, coming out.
What's that one going to be about? Can you give us a little synopsis? Or
it's about a huge mansion that was turned into condominiums. Not unlike the Orange building here. And every like 38 years or so, all hell breaks loose, kind of literally. Cool.
Oh, nice.
It's cool. And that's coming out next month from me. And then I have an author named Tim Powers, who's got a book called Hide Me Among the Graves, which is coming out in April.
Should we have heard of Tim Powers or
yes or no? I don't. You know, he's a great novelist.
He's in the horror.
His novel. He did a novel called On Stranger Tides. A long time ago, it was a pirate novel, and the last Pirates of the Caribbean was based on that.
Oh, nice. So
you might. I guess maybe you will be hearing about it.
Yeah,
I hope.
Huh? Is it what's this book about?
It's historical fantasy. I mean, it's the Rossettis, the Pre-Raphaelites. It's a vampire novel.
Okay.
It's a Victorian vampire novel, and it concerns, real people who were around, like the Rossettis.
Okay.
John Trelawney, who was. Edward John Trelawney was a friend of Shelley and Byron's. And
nice. So that one sounds like it's ready to be made into a movie already.
Wow.
I can see it.
I'm sure he'd love it.
Yeah.
And then I have another Dean Koontz book coming out, another Odd Thomas. He's got a series called Odd Thomas. This is Odd Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah? You called it Odd Apocalypse?
Well, that's what the new novel,
oh, nice,
the book will be. Yeah.
Nice. I just learned the apocalypse comes from a word that means like the unveiling. So it doesn't sound so bad once everyone has the veil of illusion lifted from their eyes. It's like, oh, I can deal with the apocalypse like that. You know, that sounds good. But I guess some kind of Greek origins of the word.
Yeah. Until it comes.
Yeah, until it comes. Yeah. You know, be careful what you wish
see
for.
What it really is.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I was going to like this. I wanted to be able to see clear. This is damnation in the flesh.
Perhaps we're all in for a lot of surprises.
Yes. Should we? I was going to leave it 5 minutes. Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, how about musically? You have any engagements coming up? Or?
You know, yeah, thank you. He's good.
Yeah.
We're at Proctor's. The Turtles are at Proctor's Theater this month, March 24th.
All right.
Yeah.
Where's
Proctor's is a theater in Schenectady.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. How many pieces are in the band? How many?
The six of us.
Okay. How many original or?
The two singers.
Okay.
Mark and Howard, Flo and Eddie.
Flo. So they're out of there. They can use their real names again.
Yeah. It's the Turtles featuring Flo and Eddie. It's how it's built.
Okay.
We do a little Flo and Eddie. We do a little bit of Zappa stuff they did with Zappa.
Oh, nice.
And the Turtle hits.
For you guys out there, one of them had the very big haircut, and he had the bushy hair, and he's walking through, and they're like, liquor stores and 200 motels. I don't know if you can think back to that, and I don't know.
That's Volman, Mark Volman.
Yes, liquor stores, yeah.
Well, there's one right across the street. I mean,
know. Yeah. I've never been to that one. I'm Beer World keeps selling me cases of beer for $9.99. I'm not supposed to talk about prices. Sorry. That's one of the things. But should we? Well, thanks, Joe. I think we should, we got to leave on Happy Together or something like that. I think
we've
had a request.
Sure.
But
I'm sick of it, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, it was a Peter. Peter's a, he's a. All right, so we're going to blame it on Peter Krug, and thanks again.
It was a pleasure. Responsibility.
All right. Let's see. Hold on. Keep talking. We can hum a song. Hum a song. They put it way at the end of the CD.
Well, it's the end of the show.
It's the end of the show.
You don't start your show with your biggest hit. You know, you